This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اليوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, the bounties and favors of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala upon us are countless, innumerable and infinite. Every bounty which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has conferred upon us is purely by the grace of Allah. And every bounty which Allah has blessed us with is an amana, it is a trust for which we will have to give account and for which reckoning will be taken in the court of Allah. Amongst the greatest bounties which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has conferred upon us is this bounty of the body, our very own body. The Quran tells us so succinctly yet so eloquently, وَفِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why don't you look at your own body? Why don't you look at this body which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given you? There's so many miracles that manifest itself in this one bounty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And at the same time, it is an amana, it is a trust. Every limb of this body is an amana and trust for which you will have to give reckoning, for which we will have to account on the day of Qiyamah in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So every limb in this body, every finger, the hand, the arm, every limb is a bounty from Allah, and we will have to account as to how we have utilized it in the day of Qiyamah. Because like Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, فَإِسْتِعَانَتُكَ بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَعْصِيَتِهِ غَرَّةُ الْكُفْرَانِ. That to use a bounty which Allah has blessed you with to disobey Allah is the ultimate ingratitude. You use that which Allah has blessed you with to break a command of Allah, to transgress the bounty of Allah, that's the height of ingratitude. So every limb which we have, we need to regulate our usage of it. Because the verse which I cited in my introduction, Allah makes reference to the fact that these limbs, while they are of benefit to us in this world, on the day of Qiyamah, they will testify as to how we have utilized them. And if we did not regulate our utilization of these limbs, in other words, on the day of Qiyamah, they will then testify against us. And we will have no control as to stop that or mitigate that in any way. They will be instructed directly by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, look at it this way. Look at it this way. It is as if you are the king of your body, and every limb in your body is your subject. Now apply the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُلُّكُمْ مَسْكُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. You are accountable for every one of your subjects. You have this body, and it's made up of different limbs and different organs and different components. These all your subjects, you have control over it. Now you will be accountable and responsible by Allah as to how you utilize it. Now, it's difficult for us in a short space of time to talk about the various limbs of the body and how to regulate it. So for the purposes of this afternoon's discourse, we will focus on one part of the body. And that is the tongue. That is the tongue. Because it has the greatest potential to benefit and simultaneously the greatest potential to harm us before it harms others. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi writes that let's understand what is the purpose for which Allah has given you a tongue. لِتُبْتَرَ فِهِ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. To remember Allah. To remember Allah. Not only in the form of, you know, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar, but to talk about Allah, to talk about the commands of Allah, to talk about the prohibitions of Allah, to talk about the greatness of Allah, to remind yourself, to remind your family, to remind others, to do amr bil ma'ruf, to do nahi anil munkar, wa tursida bihi khalq Allah ta'ala ila tariqi. The sun has been given to you so that you can guide others towards the path that leads to Allah. That's the reason why Allah has given you a tongue, amongst many other primary reasons. وَتُدْهِرَ بِهِ مَا فِي ضَمِيرٍ مِنْ حَاجَاتِ دِينِكَ وَدُنْيَاكَ. So what is in your heart, you express it on your tongue in the court of Allah. And that is in the form of supplication, that is the form of expressing your desire to Allah verbally at the time of dua. This tongue is so powerful that one of the Zulfiqar Sahib gives a brilliant analogy. He says, look at the tongue, how it can benefit at the same time, how it can harm. A man lives 70 years of his life in shirk, in the worst form of crime, and that is associating partners with Allah. But one movement of the tongue, when he says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he obliterates an entire life of sin, an entire life of idol worship, an entire life of disobedience. When that one movement of the tongue, al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qabla. On the other hand, a man is married for 50 years. That woman is beloved to him. He has children with her. He has grandchildren with her. He has shared many decades of memories with her. And one slip of the tongue in the form of divorce, that woman becomes a stranger to him. His children now come from a broken home. His family is estranged unto him. So that's the nature of the tongue. It can make or it can break. Not only your dunya, but your akhirah as well. Not only your dunya, but your akhirah as well. It is perhaps one of the smallest limbs in the body, but it has the greatest impact. It can be devastating. It can be absolutely devastating. It can overpower a human. وَهُوَ أَغْلَبُ أَعْضَائِكَ عَلِيكَ وَعَلَى سَعِرِ الْخَلْقِ, says Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. This small limb of yours, you know, when you're gymming and when you're training and when you're trying to become fit, you don't train your tongue. You train every other part of your body, your arms and your legs and everything else. But this one part of your body is so powerful that it can topple your entire life upside down. But at the same time, it can make you entire. It can turn your life in a direction that is only positivity upon positivity. And there are hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are not new to you and I. We've heard it many a times. But it's about reminding ourselves, وَلَا يَكُبُّ النَّاسِ فِي النَّارِ عَلَىٰ مَنَاتِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَادِهُ أَلْسِنَةِهِمْ. The main reason why people will be flung into the fire of Jahannam is because they did not utilize their tongues correctly. There are many sins that can lead you to the doors of hell. But the Nabi of Allah has said, the greatest reason that people, believers, will be flung headlong into the fire of Jahannam is unregulated, undisciplined usage of the tongue. You may be burning a hole into the musalla, you may be very regular with your tahajjud, let alone your 5 days salah, and not diminishing the value of any of that in any way. But notwithstanding all of that, if you don't regulate the way you utilize your tongue, you are heading in a very dangerous direction. إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. Sometimes you can live your entire life walking the straight and narrow, walking the sirat al-mustaqim, your entire life, and then you utter one word, which is so severe in the court of Allah, it will have you dropped into Jahannam to such an extent that it will take 70 years of journey to reach those depths. These are not my words, but the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why the great Jewish Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah Many times people would come to him with very simple questions. And when he would hear the question, he would contemplate, and he would think, and he would reflect, and he would ponder, and only then he would give an answer. And sometimes the students have more enthusiasm for the profile of the teacher than the teacher himself. So the students, you know, they said to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, that, oh Ustaz, these are simple questions that people ask you. Why do you take so long to answer these questions? Because people may think you don't know the answers. Whereas you're a giant of a scholar. He said, I continuously ask myself before I answer, even though I know the answer, that is there benefit in me answering or is there benefit in me keeping quiet? And then once I've determined that there's benefit in me answering, then I ask myself a question, the second question, what's the best way to answer? Not any way to answer. What's the best way to answer? So great scholars like this, they held their tongues. Forget the scholars. Even in the time of Sahaba, there's one relation with Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi, says, there was a Sahabi who was martyred. There was a Sahabi who was martyred. And other Sahaba remarked that they said, Hani Allah will be Jannah. That, you know, great tidings to him, he's on his way to Jannah. So the Nabi Muhammad said, halt, wait. Don't be so hasty in giving him the great tidings of Jannah. Even though he sacrificed his life in the path of Allah, how do you know perhaps he utilized the tongue in that which had no benefit? La ya'ni. The Nabi of Allah is not saying perhaps he utilized his tongue in that which was haram. No. Perhaps he utilized his tongue in that which is irrelevant. Even that is sufficient to become an obstacle from university, leading him to Jannah. Even though he's a martyr, even though he's received the mantle of shahadat and martyrdom. So these are not things that we should take lightly in our lives. These are things of extreme importance. It could jeopardize our eternal salvation. And that's why, to summarize what I've mentioned up to this point, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give me the guarantee of two things and I'll give you the guarantee of Jannah. Give me the guarantee that you'll control what's between your thighs, your sexual urges, and you'll control what's between your jaws, your tongue. If you can control these two things, I'll give you the guarantee of Jannah. Now, how do we regulate our tongues? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, by being cognizant of eight things. By being cognizant of eight things. What is the first? Guard your tongue against eight things. The first, I'll tell you, lie. Whether you lie seriously or you lie in jest, because it is equally abhorrent. To lie jokingly is also a lie. A lie is despicable. When the lie is emitted from a person's mouth, even the angels run. Even the angels run. And today, unfortunately, even amongst the learned, even amongst the pious, lying has become almost second nature. We lie over trivial things. We pick up these habits when we're young. You know, your father asks you, where were you? So speaking the truth, you lie. And that habit stays with you. What were you doing? Did you say this? Didn't you say that? Did you come on time? Why didn't you deliver it on time? No, this happened, that happened. Why are you doing this? It has become so part of our routine that we don't even realize that our lives are punctuated with lies. Our lives have become overbearing with lies. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says it so beautifully, that when you are a liar, apart from the sin, apart from the spiritual harms, people lose confidence in you. And he says, just imagine for a moment, if there's someone standing in front of you, and he's speaking to you with a straight face and a confident voice, but you know he's lying. At that moment, how disgusted you feel. At that moment, when somebody is standing there, even if it may be your own beloved son, but you know he's lying, and he's speaking to you with a straight face and a confident voice, he says, how disgusted don't you feel? He says, now, if you feel disgusted, others also feel disgusted when you lie to them. Others also feel disgusted when you lie to them. You can understand the repugnance of your own actions by seeing how much it makes you feel repugnant when somebody else does it. That should give you an idea. So the first thing that we need to guard our tongues against is lying. The second thing Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, breaking a promise. Firstly, we should not make promises unnecessarily. And secondly, if you make a promise, then try your best to keep it. If you tell somebody you're going to pay them at a particular time, they will receive their goods at a particular moment, then fulfill the promise. Because if you don't, if you're not a man of your word, you know, brothers, this is what I'm telling you is no rocket science. This is not something that you need to go to Darul Uloom to learn. These are basics which we were taught in Maktab. These are basics that all of us have forgotten. These are basics that all of us have forgotten. Because if you are no longer a man of your word, then you fall within the full force of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Nabi of Allah says, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ فَهُوَ مُنَافِقٌ وَإِنْ صَامَ وَصَلَّى. If you have three qualities, you are hypocrite even if you perform salah and keep fast. Even though you may be performing salah and keeping your roza, you're still a hypocrite if you have these three qualities. When you speak, you lie. When you promise, you break your promise. And when you are entrusted with an amana, then you cannot fulfill that amana. It's not for us to judge the next man, it's for us to judge ourselves. Then where do we fit in with the description of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, I'll quote one scholar again, he says so beautifully, that when you go to a doctor, a medical doctor, he can just look at your eyes and he can tell you what's wrong with you. He goes to the hadith, he just feels your pulse and he can tell you what's wrong with you. The spiritual doctors, the mashayikh, they watch what you speak, how you speak, and when you speak, and they can tell you to what extent you are in spiritual hot water. The words that you use, the tone that you use, the moments that you choose to speak, that reflects volumes about your character. You can dress like Junaid Baghdadi, and you can act in salah like Abdul Qadir Jilani, but open your mouth, and a trained spiritual doctor will be able to assess you. He'll be able to assess you. You can run into a physical doctor's surgery, acting very brave and very fit and very healthy, but look into your eyes, he listens to your heartbeat and he tells you you're not a healthy man. The hakim will feel your pulse and he tell you you're not a healthy man. A spiritual doctor will listen to what you say, how you say it, and when you say it, and he'll tell you what is the level of your spiritual health. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, how do you regulate your tongue? By guarding against eight things. We've discussed two. The first is don't lie. The second is don't break a promise. The third is do not gossip. Do not gossip. It's worse than committing adultery multiple times. The consequences of gossiping on the social fabric of a society is far worse than adultery. And today we gossip in a sophisticated way. We gossip subtly. We gossip by insinuation because we want to bluff ourselves into thinking that we're not gossiping. So what you say? You heard what happened there. No, let's not rather talk. May Allah make it easy for them. Well, if you didn't want to talk, and if you didn't want Allah to make it easy for them, then why didn't you make dua when you were in solitude? You were very, very indication. Sometimes your statement is structured such that you're insinuating. That's tantamount to gossiping about that person. It's tantamount to gossiping about that person. We can fool others, but we can never fool Allah. We can fool others, but we can never fool Allah. So that's the third. The fourth, al-mira'u wal-jidalu wa munaqashatu an-nas fi al-kalam. Disputation, argumentation, and competitive debate with people. This is a cancer that's eating away at our people. The disputes, the arguments, the verbal battles. You know, you read in English from the time you're small in school, that don't win the debate, win the man. We may be learning it later, but we forgot it. Any small thing, you want to get into an argument, you want to get into the debate. The ego wants to prevail, it wants to win. We don't understand the value that a true man is the man who can zip his mouth and walk away. That's a man of strength. That's a man of character, even when he's right. Even when he is in the right. Again, they will give you the reference of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, the famous couplets of his. When people used to slander him, accuse him of the most despicable of things. And his students would come and they would impose and they would say, why don't you respond? He would say, إِنَّ الْجَوَابَ لِبَابِ الشَّجْرِ بِالْتَاحُ. My response will open up the doors of fitna. My silence will bolt those doors. And it's not only for Imam Shafi'i. It may be a family matter. It may be a matter with a colleague at work. Many times, most times, your silence will shut the doors of fitna. Your response will break those doors down. Let alone open them, but when you respond, then it's free fall. Qul bima shi'ta fi masalati ibn Imam Shafi'i says, say whatever you want to say about me. Doesn't make a difference. It's not that I don't have the ability to respond. Many times we feel like if I keep quiet, they think I'm a weak thing and I don't know how to respond. No, Imam Shafi'i said, it's not that I don't have the ability to respond, but I subscribe to the philosophy, it's not necessary for a lion to roar every time a dog barks. It's not necessary for a lion to roar every time a dog barks. It's not necessary for you to answer all the time. They say if you argue with a fool, he will envy you. And if you argue with an intelligent person, he will despise you. It's a lose-lose battle. When you get into arguments, it disturbs your own mental state of mind, your own emotional stability. And at the same time, very, very rarely will you convince the other person. Very rarely. Our pious Greek says is won people over not by arguments, not by verbally out-mustering them, but by out-mustering them due to beautiful conduct. Through beautiful conduct. That's where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are wrong in an argument but you opt to walk away, Allah will give you a house on the outskirts of Jannah. And if you are right in an argument and you opt to walk away, Allah will give you a palace in the prime spot of Jannah. Why? Because these arguments and disputes and at least these fights and these verbal quarrels, they are breaking marriages, breaking families, and destabilizing congregations and communities. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, even though you may be right, walk away. It's for the benefit of your dunya, and it's for the benefit of the yaqeen for you, and for everyone else as well. And if you really want to fight for your life, there is a constructive way of doing it. There's a constructive way of doing it. But the devil will always try to tempt you into thinking you are right and you have a right to respond. And then many times, in your sincerity, you open up such doors that later in life you'll be better. Just help my time. One scholar said, there were multiple times in my life when I spoke and I thought I was justified in speaking, but later on in life, I regretted speaking. But there was never a moment in my life when I chose not to speak and later I regretted not speaking. We need to learn to control this tongue. So that's the thought. The first Imam Shafi, Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi, says, do not ascribe goodness to yourself. Do not always be talking about yourself. You know, I did this and I did that and I'm like this and I'm like that. You know, I was involved in that. One scholar was asked, that Masjidul Tabir, what is that which is true but at the same time it is vile, at the same time it is repugnant? He said, a person praising himself. What you're saying about yourself may be true, but the fact that you're praising yourself, that is vile, that is repugnant, that is disliked. You don't like it when you're in the company of others, and the whole time they're just going on about themselves. So then keep your tongue controlled when it comes to praising yourself. All you need is the praise of Allah. The sixth thing, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, he says, don't curse. Don't curse people. If you like someone, stay in his company. If you don't like him, don't stay in his company. If you like something, eat it. If you don't like it, leave it. But the Nabi of Allah never set an example of cursing. The seventh thing, don't make bad dua for others. Don't supplicate against others. Even if those people who are oppressors. You know, what one scholar said, sometimes someone may oppress you, but you say so much against him, that then all what you said against him is now equal to the wrong that he did, and then you go beyond that. From being the oppressed, you become the oppressor. One day, in front of one scholar, people were talking about the great tyrant Hajjaj bin Yusuf. So this scholar told him, listen, Allah will take retribution from Hajjaj for the murders that he committed, but Allah will take retribution from you for all the wrong that you're saying about Hajjaj. So hold your tongue. If you hold your tongue, you'll never be questioned by Allah. But if you speak, there's a great likelihood before you step, and that will then be held against you on the day of Qiyamah. And the eighth from the eighth. So eight things, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi said, guard your tongue against eight things in order to regulate the usage of your tongue. Do not lie. Do not break a promise. Do not backbite. Do not argue and get into disputes. Do not praise yourself. Do not curse and do not make bad dua. Do not supplicate against others. And the eighth, do not excessively make jokes. Some of us, you know, you like to be the center of attraction. So you're always cracking a joke and you're taking the meaning out of someone. You are bound to offend somebody somewhere along the line if you do this excessively. And at the same time, you lose respect. You become like a class clown. People only appreciate you for your humor, nothing else. Whenever they're in your company, they only want you to talk nonsense. They're not interested to hear your views on constructive matters or important matters because you have showcased yourself as a clown. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, that's the eighth thing. In conclusion, brothers, a few points with regard to the regulation of the tongue. This one small portion of the body that can make or break our dunya and that can make or break our akhirah. A أكثر خطايا ابن آدم في لسانه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, majority of the sins of the son of the of Adam عليه السلام of the human is as a result of the incorrect usage of the tongue. In other words, if you can get your tongue under control, you will get sin under control in your life. One Sahabi asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, أي الأعمال أحب إلى الله? Which is the most beloved action to Allah? Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم responded, controlling the tongue. In another hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, you will never realize the full potential of your iman until you can't control your tongue. Because every time you make some spiritual progress, via your salah, via your recitation of Quran, your dhikr of your charity, that progress will be diluted by the incorrect usage of your tongue. One Sahabi asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the pathway to salvation? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ. Keep your tongue under control. In reality, this one statement of the Nabi of Allah summarizes what I'm saying today. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَيْمَنُ مْرِئِنُ وَأَشْهَمُهُ مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ فَقِذَيْهِ. That the good and evil of a man, the success and the failure of a man is determined by that which is between his doors. Your tongue will determine whether you will be successful in this world and in the akhirah. And your tongue can equally determine whether you will be a failure in this world or in the akhirah. I leave you with one thought again from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we achieve this? Beyond the eight things that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, we need to be cognizant of. The Nabi of Allah said, عَلَيْكَ بِتُولِ الصَّمْدِ. If you want to control your tongue, then learn to keep quiet for lengthy periods of time. Learn to keep quiet for lengthy periods of time. You don't have to talk every time others are talking. You don't have to be involved in every discussion, every debate, every conversation. The longer you can keep quiet and only talk when necessary, the more difficult it is for the devil to tempt you to say something which is wrong, something which is devastating, and the greater it is for your a'mal and actions because it increases the likelihood of acceptance. May Allah grant me first the tawfiq of regulating and controlling the tongue. May Allah make it such that our tongues lead us to success in this world and to salvation in the hereafter. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله الواحد المتوحد بالوحدانية هو الله، الفرد المتفرد بالفردانية هو الله، العزيز المتعزز بالعزة هو الله، القدير المقتدر بالقدرة هو الله، الخالق لجميع المخلوقات هو الله، الرازق لجميع المرزوقات هو الله، الحكيم بالحكمة هو الله، الأول هو الله والآخر هو الله، الظاهر هو الله والباطن هو الله، قبل كل شيء هو الله وبعد كل شيء هو الله، قوت قلوب العارفين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، وحياة أرواح المحبين بذكر لا إله إلا الله، ولو كانت الجنة نصيب العاشقين بدون جماله فوا ويلاه، ولو كانت النار نصيب المشتاقين مع وصاله فوا شوقاه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم. أما بعد، اعلموا أن سفركم طويل طويل، وعمركم قصير قصير، وزادكم قليل قليل، وذنبكم كثير كثير، وربكم بصير بصير، وصراط دقيق دقيق، والنار حليق حليق، والقيامة قريب قريب. مسكين ابن آدم، أي مسكين ثيابه كفن، ومركبه جنازة، ومنزله لحد، وفراشه تراب، ووسادته لبنة، وجيرانه ديدان، وجلساؤه منكر ونكير، بيته خراب، وولده يتيم، وماله مقسوم، وعليه الحساب والعذاب، حلال الدنيا حساب، وحرامها عذاب، وشبهتها عذاب، لذتها فانية، وطاعتها باقية، وحاسلها فوت، وآخرها موت. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون، ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم، ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم، إنه تعالى كريم الملك البر الرؤوف الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد ان سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعه، من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصهما فانه لا يضر الا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. الا صلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على خير البريه وافضل البشريه ولست الانسانيه الهادي البشير الصراط المنير الصادق الوعد الامين محمد بن عبد الله، كما امركم الله في قوله ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأسقهم حياء وعثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله ورسول رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة طاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون.
Oh. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
سمعنا